Thank you, Brianna and Christina. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Help my unbelief. Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks, our good Father, allow us to have a meeting this morning together. So, how was your week? Do you have a testimony that the Lord had helped you to get through the week? Or have you experienced your weakness and realized that the only God could help you to get you up again? No matter what you have gone through, no matter where you are, this is a church where the God's people meet together, working for the Lord, worshiping to our Lord. This community, here is the church on this Sabbath day, remembering He is the one who has made the whole world we are in. So, welcome again. Glad that you are able to join this virtual worship service this morning. As our life gets back to some degree of normality, there are a couple of things that people planning on and about. For us, as you heard the announcement, one of the most important and exciting change would be we will be gradually back to the church for in-person worship service. Yes! Well, how many weeks has it been? I was told by Nestor that it would be like 63rd week. Wow, who knew, right? Please don't know that we are not fully transited in-person service yet, and we will continue to have this virtual worship service for a while. So please feel free to join wherever you are on this going forward. And I hope that soon it will all pass and we are back to normal in every aspect of our life. Well, one of the things that people are planning on when they are thinking about going back to normality is about traveling. Have you ever lost in a strange place? As our life goes back to some degree to normal, at least as we hoped and expect so, various reports indicate that one of the most wanted things that people are planning on are long due travels, either domestic or even international. I have read a CNN report suggesting the best 21 travel destinations in 2021. Well, most of places you already can guess. The all-time popular travel destinations, Italy, France, Greece, Dubai, Mexico, Hawaii. You can name it. Well, one of the things that interesting was Antarctica is one of the, the best travel destination for 2021. Antarctica, right? It'll be interesting. Speaking of travel, by the way, when you are traveling abroad, especially when you have to rent a car and drive in a foreign land, you will need to do a little homework to see what kind of rules they have and what is a law to comply. And the signs, of course. Yes, the traffic signs, they are so confusing. Speaking of travel, traffic signs, there are many traffic signs that confuse me during my travels, but this one particularly in Italy, that confused me a lot. And this is one of the most confused signs that I ever faced. It's not because of the what does it mean, but because how we have to comply. This sign, can you guess what does it mean? It was in Italy. You can be found in four major cities in Italy. Rome, Pisa, and Florence and Milan. For those who have traveled in Italy, or maybe Pesaro Tiro, who travel a lot of places in Europe, should be aware of this sign. Can you guess what does it mean? Well, this is called a ZTL sign. In Italy, excuse my Italian, Zona Trefisio Limitato, so ZTL. Well, it means that at a certain period of time, you cannot drive to the old town, the four major cities. You can drive a suburb, but not in the center where most of the, destinations are for the tourists. They call ZTL. But the tricky part is that the locals who live there can buy the pass, then that allows them to travel this area, regardless of time of the day. But the confusing thing is this. When we travel, we follow the Google Map, right? Certain time, or Apple Map. But when we follow this Google Map, it doesn't really show whether I can go or I cannot go. So I follow the other traffics as everyone seems fine driving their way, but it turns out they are locals who has permit to drive their way. So only way to figure out is to look for a sign like this. Well, this is one of the well-organized signs, but not all signs are this well-organized. If you see, there's a time of the day and tells you whether you can go through this area or not. But if you're not familiar with this, you can be missed this ZTL sign very easily because it looked like another speed limit or another one of the signs that you can be ignored and miss very easily. But if you do, the camera on the left corner can tag your license plate and will send you a ticket while you are unknown. Well, when I was driving to Rome and Pisa and Florence, I was able to figure out where to go or where to not to go. But in Milan, wow, I violated this ZTL traffic law, which I didn't know at that time. Then I got a mail from Italy a few months later saying that I violated with the photo. I was like, wow. Speaking of sign, it's very important for us to understand how to look, how to interpret it, how to comply, right? I remember one of the Sabbath school discussions a few weeks ago specifically referred to the promise to Noah. Oh, by the way, throughout the second quarter, April, May, and June, we are studying about the promise, the God's promise in the Bible. I would like to extend the invitation and to encourage everyone to join the morning discussion at 10:30 a.m. It was great discussion this morning, by the way. Thank you, Nestor, and everyone who participated. Anyway, on the Sabbath, a few weeks ago, when we were discussing about the promise through the Noah's story, I remember the chapter of discussion, the sign of the rainbow. Rainbow is a sign of God's covenant. And God says, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. And that made me think about, what is my rainbow that God made a sign of covenant for me? Do we see the sign of God's sense on our way, or how often I miss it? Do we recognize, or how can I recognize the voice of God when he calls on us? How can I hear God's voice when I have to make certain decisions to make sure that I follow the God's way? As you can see on Psalm 25, it says, show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. If you read the Bible, one of the recurring themes throughout the book is asking for the way, asking for the guidance. Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Psalm 143, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift my soul. Not only these verses, there are many Bible verses throughout the book, Old Testament, New Testament. There's a prayers asking God to give guidance, to make right choice. Show me your ways. Well, this was the prayer of Moses as well. In Exodus chapter 33 says, if you are pleased with me, Moses is praying, that teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Let's dive into the text when Moses is praying this to God. If you look back, Exodus chapter 32, verse 7, it says that then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. Oh, what happened? If you look at the chapter 32 and backward, it explains what exactly happening. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down a mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. 16, the tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the table. 17, when Joshua heard the noise of people shouting, he said to Moses, there is sound of war in the camp. Moses replied, no, it is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is sound of singing. Another verse says that it is sound of celebration that I hear. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. Well, as you get it, while Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the commandment and to receive the instruction how to worship, while people is waiting for Moses, this is what's happening. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way, or I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that the nation is your people. Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. When people saw how long it taking, they decide to make their own God. Well, when we look back, we can say, how could they do that, right? Moses just went up to the mountain to meet the Lord, yet how can they do that? What about us? Do we often miss God's existence? Do we often forget that God is here with us? Do we often forget or ignore or miss God's calling on us? While Moses was absent, it was a time of waiting and suspense to Israel. The people knew that he had ascended the mount with Joshua and had entered a cloud of thick darkness, which could be seen from the plain below, resting on the mount peak, illuminated from time to time with the lightings of the divine presence. They waited eagerly for his return, for Moses' return. Accustomed as they had been in Egypt to material presentations of deity, it had been hard for them to trust in an invisible being. And they had come to rely upon Moses to sustain their faith. Now he was taken from them day after day, week after week passed. And still he did not return. Notwithstanding the cloud was still in view, it seems to many in the camp that their leader had deserted them, or that he had been consumed by the devouring fire. The book of Patriarchs and Prophets describe what's happening here. As we just read, they could see the illumination on the mountain from time to time with the lightings and divine presence. It was in their view, yet they decide not to wait any longer. Well, in the beginning, they have waited. They waited the Moses' return. But as day by day goes, as week by week goes, they could not wait any longer. It says, accustomed as they had been Egypt to material presentation of deity, it had been hard for them to trust in an invisible being. So they wanted something tangible. They wanted something they can see. They wanted something they could touch to worship, to ask the path. Maybe this is exactly this why God says, do not make any form or any shape on me. Maybe this is why God put the promises, covenant in the time, as we discussed this morning about the Sabbath. Well, while we search for the path, asking God to show his way, we often see ourselves accustomed to the word that we need answer right away. We need answer when we want. We need answer to what we want, rather than looking for the true path that God wants us to walk through. So the way Israelites responded to this, making their own God, golden calf, maybe it is influenced by their life back in Egypt. Let's pause here and let's turn our attention to the New Testament when Jesus was with disciples. Matthew chapter 6, it says, let me read it from the screen. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you said, it will be fair weather, for sky is red, and in the morning, today it'll be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Here, they were asking a sign to Jesus. And the response was, no, none will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. What is sign of Jonah, by the way? It is a type of Jesus' death and resurrection in 3 days. That is the true meaning of Jesus' life. This story, Matthew chapter 16, is right after, based on the book of Matthew, Jesus has healed many people at the Sea of Galilee. And it is right after Jesus has fed 4,000 people, yet they were asking the signs. In fact, the signs they were asking was right in front of them, yet they were still asking for a sign. Are we asking the sign to the Lord while all the evidence of His love has been already displayed? If we look back in our personal life, do we have any experience that it must be God, it must be God alone who has held up on us not to fall? For me, yes, I do. There are many, in fact. This is my testimony, yet still, I find myself looking for more signs. Maybe this is because the answer the Lord gave me is not what I thought I would get or I want. Maybe because our mind is already set toward the answer that they already want. Do you remember one of the Pastor Tito's sermon about Balaam? Yeah. He prayed, but he already made his mind before his prayer. So no matter what God says, he already set his goal, set his path. Then what's the purpose of asking the Lord, the God, guidance? Maybe I don't have any patience to wait to his answer. Psalm says, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait. Remember, for you, I wait all the day long. Be patient, therefore, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmers await for the precious fruit of the earth. Being patient about it until it receives the earth early and the later rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. When he rose up from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So looking back to the Israelites, they were not far from the mountain. They could actually see the illuminations on the top of the mountain in the cloud, yet their mind has set to make their own God. So maybe ourselves, when we apply to this on us, the distance that we fear that God is too far away is not actually that far. He's right there, but we are the one that fall asleep, not knowing that God is right there. A stone's throw is right next to us. Let's go back to Exodus 33. So, after Moses returned back to the people, after breaking down the golden calf, he went to the tent of meeting. Verse 3 of Exodus 33. Verse 7, excuse me. Then a pillar of cloud came toward the tent, and people standing in front of their places. And verse 13, that's why Moses said, show me your way. Show me your way. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. If you see this, when Moses asking God, teach me your way, the emphasis was actually, it says, so I may know you. A very basic question is why we are asking for sign. Are we trying to use God as just a shortcut? While desire on our part is understandable, God is more interested in developing a loving relationship with us. God says, Exodus 33, verse 12, he says, I know you by name. In response, Moses asking, help me, teach me your way, so I may know you. What is the reason that we ask for God to show us his way? Is it because there is something that we want, or when we want? Or is it because we want to know what he wants for us to do? Here, Moses' focus was to know him. He's bringing Israelite back to the Creator, the Redeemer, who brought them out of Egypt to the promised land. God is interested in developing a loving relationship with us. When the father looked at the child, he said to the little baby who can't speak yet, when the father looks at the baby and the baby gives a little smile, oh, that look, that smile, it swiped away everything that was there before. When God sees his people turning back to him, asking for his way to know him, though, this is when God says, I will be with you. Here we see seeking for God's way in our life is so developing our loving relationship with God, knowing God and his plan in our life. That is, in fact, running theme of second quarter Sabbath school lesson, the promise, God's everlasting covenant. In fact, that has been the theme of the messages in throughout the May. I mean, we didn't plan for it, but in God's Holy Spirit, the first Sabbath by Pastor Sermon, Lest Not Forget. And next week, Edda's sermon, Dare to Ask. And next week, Dorian's having eyes but not seeing. And last week's is a white message as well. Knowing God's plan for us, knowing God's path, and developing a loving relationship with God as God speaks to us. This is, in fact, the united theme of the entire book of Bible. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Romans chapter 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Hebrews 12, it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Oh, by the way, do you know that we have capacity to refuse God's calling? I'll continue to read. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warned us from heaven? At the time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The word once more indicates the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Oh, yes. Dear my friends, God speaks to us. God is calling us in each moment of our life. Whether to refuse or not is on us. And Hebrew is asking, do not refuse him who speaks. God is the God of the kingdom which is not be shaken. God is the one who shakes things around us so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Maybe if you have some prayer waiting for God's answer, if you need God's guidance, it turns out sometimes you feel like there's no answer coming to us. Maybe this is time for shaking so that only what cannot be shaken may remain in us. God speaks to us through his providential workings and through the influence of his Holy Spirit upon the heart. In our circumstances and surroundings, in the changes daily taking place around us, we may find the precious lesson if our hearts are but open to discern them. The psalmist, tracing the work of God's providence, says, "The earth is full of goodness of the Lord." If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Best way to learn God's voice is when to hear it. When you become a disciple of Jesus, you learn how to hear God's voice. If you are lost in the wood, God tells us, instead of giving us turn right, turn left, he actually calling us so that we can develop, we can learn how to hear God's voice. So through the journey, following God's voice, this is when we grow spiritually. For the time that we may fail, but yet God is calling always. This is when we learn. This is when we grow. We really need to learn how to hear and listen to God's voice. Well, do you recognize this view? It is from the Mars, the recent photo taken. NASA's Perseverance rover landed on Mars on February 18th after almost 7 months traveling for a month. Can you believe this? 7 months once it shipped from the Earth, from Cape May. So this is another photo taken by the rover. There are certain terms called 7 minutes of terror. 7 minutes of terror. Why is it 7 minutes of terror? Is that when this spacecraft, after 7 months of journey from Earth to Mars, it takes around 7 minutes once it initiates the entrance to the atmosphere of Mars. The entry, descent, and landing, called EDL, phase of Mars mission is often referred as a 7 minutes of terror. Why is it 7 minutes? Because it takes around 12 minutes that the radio signal travels from Mars to Earth and vice versa, Earth to Mars. It means that once the signal from the Earth sending toward the spacecraft, it takes usually an average 12 minutes to get to the Mars. However, it takes only 7 minutes that this spacecraft landed on the surface of Mars. So for the engineers, as you can imagine, the uncertainty is something that they want to avoid. They really hate this uncertainty for the engineers, right? As you can guess. When Mars' 7 minutes of terror sequence will begin for the engineers overlooking the events won't be able to guide or direct the Perseverance landing as it takes more time for that radio signal travels to Mars. So there's no human control will be the effect for this spacecraft. And I mean, when I look back, maybe this is not only for this spacecraft issue. For us, and sometimes we feel like, we feel like we are under the shade that we cannot reach God. Let's look back to Exodus 33, Israelites. When I think about this, at first I thought, how could they do that? The mountain was right there. The mood is right there. You can see the illumination on the mountain. How you can betray and find out all new ways. But when you think through, I could feel for the Israelites. I could kind of understand what they were going through. Maybe they felt like they are in this area, like the 7 minutes of terror that they could not communicate, or their prayer does not reach to God. And it took too long to receive God's message, God's guidance on them. Maybe they thought that God was too far to reach, to listen to their voice. But know that God is always there speaking to us. Hebrew 12, as just we read, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Hear his voice. Listen and listen up. Follow the direction of the sound of God. Maybe you are listening to God's calling now, that God is speaking to you for your prayer that you have been praying for. Only you will know God's voice. Jesus, I want to hear your voice. I want to follow up your guidance. I want to choose you, Jesus, in my life. If you hear his voice, do not refuse it. Receive it and lean into it. Today, maybe this is our new beginning of new journey. Let's take a moment now and ask God what he wants to speak to us about. Let's hear his voice. His voice will move you toward life. God will speak to you and you listen and watch what God will do on us. 2 Corinthians verse 4 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. My friends, when you look back, the Israelites, we learn. Although we wish to listen to God's voice, God's guidance, the signs that we want, if our hearts are not ready, if our hearts are fixed for our personal agenda, or if our ears are closed, we cannot hear the voices. We need to open our heart. We need to listen to God's voice. Maybe our God will telling us through our prayer. Maybe our God is telling his way while we're waiting for his answer. God's path can be seen through the scriptures. God can use also signs if that is the best for us. And God also uses people to give his willing. Maybe your kind action toward others, maybe your kind prayer, maybe your kind giving out your hands to someone else around you could be the answer for them that they were praying for. Meaning, we can be answers for each other as long as God uses us for his glory. So this morning, I encourage you and I pray that we do not lose our hearts and we focus on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Through this, we can hear God's voice. Through our prayer, God will tell us. God will speak us. And when he does, let's not refuse. This is my prayer this morning. Thank you. Amen.